Well, welcome to Histon Baptist Church on this big occasion where it's our promotion Sunday, where we move children amongst the groups in the Sunday schools and in the youth groups, and we've also got a baptism. So creche facilities are available through there if your child gets too noisy or you want space for them. Otherwise, we're going to stay in and enjoy this part. So welcome if you are a guest, welcome if you are a stranger, and welcome if you've been here every week for the past I don't know how long. It is good to see you, and it's great to be able to take time out to engage with God, to sort of reach out and see if he's there. And see what he's doing and see what he wants for us. So that's what we'll be doing this morning. We will be taking an offering. I just want to say, you know, if you're a guest, you just let the bag pass. It's okay. Okay. I mean, if you want to give, by all means, just make the checks payable to Ron Day. Oh, no. Okay. But it will be good to do that. So come and hear what God has been doing in two people's lives. And what God wants to do in your life. Let's pray together. Lord, we come before you not because we deserve it, not because we've earned it, but because there's something deep within us that wants to reach out to the unknown God. Touch our lives today, we pray. Whatever our background, whatever our circumstances, whatever we've done in the past, make this day a day of engaging with you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we hope you get it when you come to church. Often people don't. They miss the point. They come to church, they think it's all about singing and praying, and it's all one way, and it's not. We hope you really get it. That this is not just about us doing religious things. When Jesus rose from the dead, he spent time with his followers before going back to heaven. And his last words to them, according to Matthew, are these. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Just before this, he says, all authority is given to me from heaven. So those are his words. He could have said something else. Jesus could have said, go save the planet. Or he could have said, go feed the hungry. Or he could have said, go into politics. Go and be agents of change amongst world powers. Go and make money and use your wealth for good. He could have said any of those, but he didn't. Go and root out unfairness between the rich and the poor, between men and women, between white and others, other colors. Go eradicate poverty. He could have said any one of those. I mean, I wonder what your parting words would be. Go and... Jesus' parting words were, go and make disciples. All of those things are noble aims, but Jesus said the biggest priority for you, my followers, is to go and make disciples. They will become Christians and be baptized and be taught to listen to God and do as he says. That's what that teaching them to obey is. Taught to listen to God and do what he says. And we've got a couple of examples of that today where people have listened to God and they're doing what he believes he's saying to them, being baptized. You see, when they become Christians and listen to God and do as he says, then they can be let loose on the world. And they will be guided to save the planet because it's his creation. Feed the hungry because they're in his image. And change the world to be in line with his will. Use their wealth and their influence for good. And root out unfairness and injustice in all its forms. But it starts with engaging with God. Encounter God through Jesus first. and you will know your purpose and strength, and he will be with you. Because, you know, you haven't got time to do all of those things. Right? You spread yourselves so thin trying to engage in politics and root out unfairness and being part of racial equality and being part of gender equality and doing all those other things. You'll wear yourself out. So come to Christ, he says. Acknowledge where you fit in and let him direct you the right way, and you will enjoy the ride and you will make a difference. But it starts, Jesus says, with you encountering God. And we hope you get it. And you don't just come to church and say, now I've done the right thing and so forth. Commit yourself to his ways in baptism to tell the world, I am a Christian, a person with God's strengths and God's values is entering into the arena to change the world one life at a time. You know, we have great news for people, and it's not too early and it's not too late to start that way of life. So I hope you've come to church not to experience, you know, a good time. I hope you do have a good time. Not to meet up with your friends. I hope you do meet up with your friends. Not even to have a family celebration. I hope you do. But it's to encounter God. You close your eyes and you invite him in. Some people need to say, God, are you there? Because you don't know. Be honest. And you will find that God encounters people who move. So we've got great news. And because of that, we're going to sing a great song. The band hate this song, but I love it. And now we come to our baptisms. And for this, I'm going to ask Pauline to come first and then Tim. Pauline's going to tell you something of why she's being baptized. We'll do her, and then Tim will tell you, and then he'll be baptized. Children, if you want to come and have a closer look, the rest of you can see it on the screen, I hope. Is that right? Oh, good. So you'll be able to see it on the screen if you wish. Pauline.
The past few weeks, Ron has been speaking about the leading of the Holy Spirit. If I was to tell you about the times this has happened in my life, we could be here quite a while. So I'll try and keep it brief. About 12 years ago, when we were living in Cornwall, I went out shopping one day. On returning home, Andrew said, I've put the house on the market. We're moving to Cambridge. I said, oh, okay. We bought a place in Long Stanton and went along to Willingham Church. It's a lovely little church, nice people. But I said, no, it's not the one. We've got to go to Histon. We knew nothing about Histon, having only passed through it on our way to visit our daughters. But somehow I felt we had to be there. We went into Histon, had a look round, and I said to Andrew, it's a red brick building. And he said, oh, okay. Eventually we found it and came up on in. We didn't know if it was Methodist, Church of England, or Baptist. But we came in anyway, and a week later asked to be members. Now, I'd never attended Baptist church before, so I thought, well, I don't need to be baptised. I was christened as a baby. And then in my 20s, I was confirmed into the High Church of England, complete with holy water and confession. And then later on, when I moved to Cornwall, went through membership classes for the Methodist Church. So why would I need to be baptised? That was until about a month ago. I was working in the garden one day, and a voice suddenly came into my head and said, you need to be baptised. I don't, I said. The next day, I was pottering about the house, and again, you need to be baptized. No, I don't. This happened three times, And that night, I went to bed and even dreamt about it. Well, you can't argue with that, can you? Here I am at the age of 75, ready to be baptized, better late than never. And I would like to add that I haven't always listened, but when I have, I've been truly blessed.
Right, okay, I'd like to tell you about my journey. So here we go. I tend to do things the hard way and stay on the country roads when the motorway would be a far more direct and easy route to have taken. But the views are far more interesting, and so this is the way that I usually go. I went to church when I was a child and was very involved, but then drifted away in my teenage years as life changed and I left God out of it. As life moved on and new challenges were presented, I would cycle to work and chat to God, sometimes angry, sometimes sad, sometimes happy, arguing, questioning. During a particularly bad patch in my life, I felt I couldn't even see the light at the end of the tunnel, let alone a tunnel. Or if indeed there was a tunnel, just darkness. I felt so lost and alone. I was searching for a way forward. I just didn't know where to find it. It was then that I realised the only way I was going to escape from this was to reach out to the one person who I had been chatting to for all those years on my daily cycle to work, God. Then I started to realise that the sun does shine and the light in the tunnel became visible, and I knew the direction that I should head towards. Life has changed dramatically for me in the past 5 years. I've met the wonderful woman who will shortly become my wife. Excuse me. Come to Histon Baptist Church, found new genuine friends and a warmth I have never experienced before. Peace and understanding and a new purpose to my life. I feel baptism is the next step of my faith, even though I have tried to go down those country lanes and avoid this. God keeps bringing me back to this point, and I know baptism is the next step on my journey. I would like to now share with you a passage that my mum gave to me a few years ago that was printed on a bookmark. She knows how much I enjoy reading. After reading it that first time and realising the significance of those few powerful words, I stuck it onto my shaving mirror and I read it every day. This has kept me going through all the tough times and dark days. Okay, here it is. This is the beginning of a new day. God has given me this day to use as I will. I can waste it or grow in its light and be of service to others. But what I do with this day is important because I have exchanged a day of my life for it. And when tomorrow comes, today will be gone forever. I hope I will not regret the price I paid for it. Thank you for listening to my journey with God.
The reading comes from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verses 26 to 38. Philip and the Ethiopian. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to the chariot and stay near." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Who can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. Amen.
So can you imagine this story then? So this is Philip, and he gets inspired to go down a road. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? Inspired to do the absurd. You know, he go down to a road and wait there. So he does. You know, and that is one thing about listening to God. You know, sometimes you end up doing the absurd. We did that. You can listen to it on the web. Okay? Now, I want you to imagine what's going on. So, you know, I need a Philip. All right? Can I borrow you as Philip? All right? You are inspired, okay, to do nutty things. Okay? Just go to a road. Okay? And I need... I need someone big and important. Andrew, there you go. Come on, Andrew. Now, I need a few men now to pick him up because he's riding his chariot. It's your turn now, okay? So, okay, come on, up you come. All right, I need a few more. Good, strong men. Would you do one? Thank you very much. Okay. And we need one more. George, come on up. Come on up, George. Okay. You are the chariot. Okay. So you need to sort of put a seat together between all four of you. Hold hands across like that. And then go down and then let him sit on it. There you go. There you go. There you go. Just put your brace. He's coming down. There you go. Now, if you want to pick him up, you can do, but that's your choice, all right? I am not in charge, all right? I do have the names of osteopaths. Okay, all right. So there he is. He's wandering along, reading a scroll. Now, you might want... He's just bought this in Jerusalem, right? It's like the latest book. And he's bought this. There you go. There's your scroll, okay? And you're reading it. Now, what happened in those days, okay, was that when people got a book, they read it aloud, okay? Because it's telling everybody, look, I can read. Because not many people could. And he would read it to everybody around him. The soldiers, the driver, you know, because he was posh, okay? And there you go. Are you ready? I want you to move him now that way, all right? So he's traveling along the road. And you're wondering, what on earth am I doing here? Okay. And the prompting of this... you're going up there. Just wait there a minute. Right. And the prompting of the Spirit, which is me behind you, going, go over there and just listen. All right. And he's speaking away and he's reading from this book and he says, you know, all about some person. And he's going, and you go, you know what you're reading? Say hello.
What am I reading?
No, do you know what he's reading?
What are you reading?
And he hears him, he says, and he asks the question, he says, I don't understand it, which is great. I love it when people say, I don't understand it. Is he talking about himself or is he talking about somebody else? And this guy's come up into my chariot.
Come in.
And I need another one in the chariot now. So
you can actually sit there.
All right, yeah, come on. You can take the back seat. Yeah. Okay, all right. And as they're going along, he explains it all to him. All right, and he says it's not about him; it's about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. He rose from the dead, you know. And he tells him the good news that Jesus rising from the dead means everybody can have hope and go to heaven. That's his good news. And he even tells him, okay, he says, you know, what you've got to do is believe and be baptized, okay? And you're on the journey. So the guy says, well, you know, what do I need to do here? Do I need to go to classes? Do I need to sort of, you know, fall down on my knees? What do I need to do? Do I need to go back to work? And he tells me she'll be baptized. So he says to him, "There's a bit of water here. Can I get baptized? Here? Can we start the journey now?" And Philip goes, "Yeah, why not?" I love this. Because, you know, if he was a church leader, he goes, "Well, you've got to come to baptismal classes. You know, we got to do this right. Yeah? We'll book your baptism in about 6 weeks. All right? When we can order it in the church's calendar, like, you know." But he doesn't. What he says is, "Yeah. Okay." And he baptizes him. Okay? So just take him over there. Okay? In the dunking pond. No, he's been dunked. Okay. Thank you all, gents. Thank you very much. Right. Off you go. So, I love this because this is a story about a real thing that happened. And the question is not what most people ask these days. The question wasn't, why should I be baptized? In the text, it says, why shouldn't I be baptized? Why shouldn't I? What's stopping me? He was asking a question about God's prompting. He's asking a theological question. Is it right for me to be baptized? But some later manuscripts sort of add a little bit, all right? Irenaeus in the second century said, it should be in there, but... And verse 37, which you will find in your Bibles as a footnote, because in the main manuscript, it's not there. And I don't think it needs to be. You know, it's, why shouldn't I be baptized? And he goes, don't know. When do you want to start your journey with God? Kind of thing. And if it's now, then now's the time to be baptized. He's asking a question about God's prompting. Is this something God wants me to do to show the world what he's done and what he's doing? And he's doing something wonderful in my life. If that's what you're asking, why shouldn't you be baptized? To let the world know that you're on a journey with God. Not that you're perfect, not that you've got all the answers, but you're on your journey with God. You've accepted that Jesus is your only hope. And you said, I give up trying to please God. I'm just going to listen. And if that's you, maybe you should be asking the question, why shouldn't I be baptized to get on this journey? Okay, so if you want to ask that question now, you know, you can always go home for some change of clothing later on. And when you listen to God, you hear him saying, do this for me. That's what Jesus did when he was baptized, by the way. You know, theologians have argued why Jesus should have been baptized at all. But he was listening to the prompting of God's Spirit. And the prompting of the Spirit said, go down to John, get baptized. And theologians have been arguing ever since whether it was the right thing to do or not. But he did it because it wasn't about a theological argument about when you start being a Christian. It was a prompting. Is God speaking to you? Jesus didn't need to repent. He just wanted to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And that released the blessing of God's Spirit and the affirmation of heaven. You heard it. And God speaks to him in a different way. And if that's what you're hearing from God, then come and talk to me or another one of the leadership team, and we'll be pleased to pray for you and ask God to show you the way. Because this guy was just going along a road one day and he was reading something that he thought might be interesting. Interesting enough to buy it, and they were expensive. And he's reading this thing and all of a sudden God touches him. And through Philip, An encounter with God leads to a lifetime of change. History says that the man went down to Ethiopia. He was the treasurer of Candace, or Kandake, depending on how you say her name. And he lived a life down there, pleasing to God, worshipping Christ on his own. And he told other people what he had found out about God. And I just can't imagine a church founded on the book of Isaiah. But the church thrived. And for 200 years, it was isolated from everywhere else. And it continued to praise God through Jesus Christ. It's a great story. All because he bought a book and he asked a man to come into his chariot. And the rest is history. Who knows what will happen for you when you listen to the Spirit?